From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
All right, well, we are back at it, ladies and gents. Welcome to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this March 10th, 2014. It is really a nice day outside right now, folks. I'm tempted to go out there right now. I mean, I looked out the window. It's about the high. It's supposed to get to a high of like 46 today, and I kid you not, I actually saw a kid wearing shorts. Yes, a student walking around with shorts on campus. It's nice out there, but I don't think it's that nice, okay? Let's be smart here, folks. Let's be smart here. But it's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful time here on the show. We have a jam-packed Current Sports for you today. I am excited. As later on the hour, our guest for today's Current Sports will be Jeff Gintner. Now, if you don't know Jeff Gintner, he is the GM and VP of four Atlanta-based sports TV networks down south. He is a great friend of the show, an MSU alum. He'll join me around 1:30 to talk about, you know, the Olympic TV coverage and, you know, how the Braves and the Hawks are doing and just ideas, you know, just pushing the envelope when it comes to sports TV. I mean, the guy is such a mastermind when it comes to that field. I can't wait to talk to him. So that'll be later on in the hour. But before we get to all of that, you know what we got to talk about today. Yes, Michigan State men's basketball, folks. Michigan State, they fell to Ohio State yesterday, and I guess return to in-season form, if you will. After, you know, all our eyes were big, except me. I wasn't drinking the Kool-Aid after that Iowa game, which was a fantastic game for this ball club. They just could not pull things out in the clutch against Ohio State. We'll dive into it. If you saw that game, were at that game, and just want to give your thoughts on it, you know that number. We're taking your calls throughout this entire hour. 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. I want to get your views on it as Matt and I will kind of dissect the game and give you our thoughts on it. As now, it's tourney time, baby. Let the postseason begin. The Big Ten tournament in Indianapolis, it starts this weekend for the men. And then, yes, the NCAA tournament. So, can't wait for it. March Madness will be in live and full effect. Can't wait for it, folks. And before I get to my current sports quick hit headliners, I want to give a special thanks out to 92.1 Big Country, because I actually did a play-by-play game with Eric Doc Love of 92.1. I told him I'd shout him out and give him a great thank you because me and him, we rocked the mic as Pewamo Westphalia. They played the Laingsburg Wolfpack in the district final on Friday, in which PW pulled out a big win, 31-12, the final of that one. Talked to Greg Marshall afterwards, such a great, great coach. Two great coaches going at it, two legendary coaches within the area, as now PW moves on to the opening game of regionals, which start tonight for boys basketball around mid-Michigan. It was a great time calling that game, though. Even though it was a lopsided game, it was always great seeing Greg and Luke and their incredible, incredible young students that they have over there. All right, well, let's dive right into it, folks. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners, again, for this March 10th, 2014. Okay, after an impressive Breslin home win on Thursday night over Iowa. Again, the Spartans couldn't sustain that momentum going into yesterday's matchup against Ohio State. Number 22 MSU went scoreless over the last 4 minutes and 30 seconds. And Ohio State scored the final 4 points to tag the Spartans with a troublesome 69-67 loss on Sunday night. Now, it was the Spartans' seventh loss in their last 11 games. Both Ohio State and Michigan State are now headed for the Big Ten tournament this week. They will move on after that to the NCAA tourney. But Tom Izzo, didn't sound as if any answers were close at hand for his Spartans. He said, quote, "I've said it before. I'll say it again. It's a shame what's happened to this team. It's not all their fault. It's a very good team that is nowhere near the team we were earlier in the year." All right, if you want to call in again, if you can give your thoughts on how tourney ready is this Michigan State men's basketball team? 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. We'll take your calls this entire hour on it if you saw that game yesterday. I certainly got some thoughts on that one. All right, and Michigan, the Michigan men's basketball team, they made it 5 straight W's This past weekend, the Big Ten champion University of Michigan men's basketball team, they closed out the regular season with an 84-80 win over Indiana on Saturday evening at the Chrysler Center. The Maize and Blue, they were led by graduate student Jordan Morgan's first double-double of the season and fifth of his career on senior night, plus three other players in double-figure scoring. Now, with Saturday's win, the Wolverines have beaten each team in the Big Ten Conference during the regular season campaign. And also, MSU and Michigan hockey, folks, the Michigan State and Michigan hockey teams, they split its weekend series between the two rivals. Now, on Friday night, the Spartans suffered a complete beatdown at the hands of the Wolverines in Ann Arbor, a 7-1 rout, but the Spartans would make up for it. The Michigan State hockey team, they scored three unanswered goals to rally from a 3-1 deficit and top Michigan 4-3 on Saturday night at Munn Ice Arena. Will Yanikeff, he turned away all 24 shots in a relief effort and goal, while Mackenzie McKern, he broke a 3-3 tie with 12:13 left to play in the third period. Now, MSU will host Wisconsin next weekend, or this weekend, I should say, in its final home series. Friday's game will begin at 7 p.m., while Saturday's is scheduled for 4 p.m. All right. MSU, the women, they lose in Big Ten tourney play. Brandi Asia, she led the Spartan scorers with 18 points, but MSU fell to Nebraska 86-58 in the Big Ten semis on Saturday night. Ariel Powers, she finished with a double-double, scoring 10 points and pulling down 12 rebounds. But get this, the Spartans, they shot 37% from the field, while the Cornhuskers were an unconscious 52% from the field. My goodness. Now, Tierra Laudermill, she scored 20 points, and Rachel Terriot, who was great, she added 18 as third-seeded number 16 Nebraska. They went all the way, actually, to the Big Ten championship game against Iowa and ended up topping them, winning the whole thing. So I guess if you lose, you rather lose to the champs, I guess, right? So congrats to Nebraska. Now MSU will now turn their sights on the NCAA tournament. And the Lansing Lugnuts, folks, yes, as you know, this is just kind of a preview today with it being 46 degrees outside. Again, don't wear any shorts today. I know it's nice outside. We haven't seen this in a while, but don't be crazy, folks. I saw a student with shorts on. My goodness. But that means that baseball is right around the corner, okay? Lansing Lugnuts single game tickets will go on sale this Thursday, March 13th, presenting fans with a schedule brimming with LAFCU fireworks and Labatt Thirsty Thursdays and Freebie Fridays, Dollar Deal Days. I mean, it's always a great time down at Cooley Law School Stadium. Now, the Lugnuts and Michigan State, they will open up Cooley Law School Stadium on Thursday, April 3rd in the 8th annual Crosstown Showdown presented by Auto Owners Insurance. Now, the first 2,000 fans in attendance will receive a special giveaway commemorating the matchup of Lansing and East Lansing. So how about that? All right, and we got to talk about them. The Detroit Pistons, Rajon Rondo, had 18 of Boston's season high, 38 assists. My goodness. And the Celtics committed just 7 turnovers in a 118-111 win over the Detroit Pistons on Sunday night. Jeff Green had 27. Chris Humphries had 20 and 11 rebounds. And Kelly Olynyk, he added 18 points off the bench for the Celts in their second highest output of the season. Sad stuff there. All right, the lowly Pistons have now lost 3 straight and still sit in 9th place in the horrid Eastern Conference. They will be back in action tomorrow against the Sacramento Kings, a 7:30 p.m. tip time. All right, New York Rangers goaltender Henrik Lundqvist, he reached the 300 win mark in style with a 30-save shutout of the Red Wings on Sunday. Brian Boyle, he scored early for the New York Rangers, and Chris Kreider added two third-period goals to seal the win. Lundqvist now needs one more win to tie Mike Richter for the franchise's all-time lead, and the shutout gave him 49, tying another franchise record. Jimmy Howard made 28 saves for the Wings in the loss. And sad news in the world of Lions football, folks. Detroit Lions owner William Clay Ford Sr. passed away Sunday morning at the age of 88. Now, he is the grandson to auto pioneer Henry Ford. William, he bought the Lions in 1963 and served as owner for the last 50 years. The Lions managed just one playoff win during his tenure, a 38-6 win over the Cowboys in 1992. Ford was known for his unwavering loyalty, and former employees have nothing but glowing remarks for him. This is said from former Lions coach Bobby Ross. He said, quote, "I mean, from the first day I met him on my interview to the very last, he's a special human being. Not only that, but a really good owner. Took an interest in the players, a strong interest. I mean, every ball game at home, he'd been down in that dressing room, walking around, talking to players a good hour, hour and a half before the game, maybe 2 hours before. And then I would meet him after every home game for probably a couple hours, and we'd go over everything, and I'd give him the rundown. He was involved, but yet he let you do your job too. Again, Detroit Lions owner William Clay Ford Sr. passing away yesterday at the age of 88. And later on in the show, we will kind of talk about William Clay Ford's, you know, his legacy. And if you want to call in, again, we're opening up our phone lines this entire hour. You want to call in and share your thoughts on William Clay Ford or anything that we talk about here on the show, 517-355-9527. All right, Michigan native Brad Keselowski, he seemed to have luck on his side in Las Vegas this weekend after winning the nationwide series event on Saturday. Keselowski swooped past an out-of-fuel Dale Earnhardt Jr. to win the Cobalt Tools 400 and sweep the weekend in Vegas. How about that? Keselowski's win puts him one behind Earnhardt in the Cup standings as Dale Jr. has finished first, second, and second through three races this season. Also, Patrick Reed, what a weekend for him. Patrick Reed knows what to do with the lead, folks. The 23-year-old Texan went wire to wire to win the World Golf Championships Cadillac Championship on Sunday at the Blue Monster at Trump National Doral. It was his third victory in his last 14 starts on the PGA Tour, and he had the lead heading into the final round in all three. As far as the world's number one golfer goes, yes, the back issues that caused Tiger Woods to withdraw from a tournament a week ago flared again on Sunday, leading to a long day on the golf course and the first birdieless final round in his career. Woods shot a 6-over par 78 at Doral's Blue Monster course to tumble out of contention at the WGC Cadillac Championship and drop into a tie for 25th, 9 strokes behind winner Reed. All right, well, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in, share your thoughts on any of those, you know the number, 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527, and share anything that's on your mind. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. All right, Matt Lucky now joins me. How you doing, Matt? Happy Monday, brother.
I'm doing well, Al. How are you?
I'm good. Mondays, it's a great day outside, though. 46 degrees. I swear to you, though, I saw a student wearing shorts. He was wearing shorts out there, man. I'm like, come on, be smart now. It's nice, but not that nice.
Yeah, okay? kids are busting out the shorts and the T-shirts, and it's a touch early for that.
Just a little early. Okay, well, let's dive right into it, Matt. Again, yesterday, MSU and OSU. An impressive win on Thursday cannot be followed up yesterday as Michigan State fell to Ohio State 69-67. The final of that one. I tell you what, when you look at this game, Matt, seven. What really stands out is that those last 4 minutes and 30 seconds where Michigan State couldn't buy a bucket. 7 straight empty possessions to end the game. 7. Unbelievable stuff there. And, you know, I always said it, man. We talked about it on Friday's show after the Thursday game at senior night. And we both agreed on this. Consistency has to be the key now. I mean, it was a great win against Iowa. But still, you and I weren't sipping the Kool-Aid and still approached that game with caution. Because if you look at this, Michigan State now has not won back-to-back games dating all the way back to January 21st. January 21st where they beat Illinois and Indiana. That's not consistency. When they get wins, it seems as though that next game, the energy isn't there. I mean, it really was alarming for me. Another thing that Ohio State was able to do, especially from the very start of that game, was establish an inside presence. I mean, most Ohio State's points at the beginning of the game came inside the paint. Now, don't get me wrong. Adrian Payne, I thought, had a very, very good game offensively. But I thought that he struggled defensively at times and just kind of, you know, just let guys just go up in the paint and score. Same goes for Brandon Dawson, too. I mean, the defensive effort inside was not there. And then there's another alarming stat here. 16 turnovers for Michigan State. And OSU, looking at the efficiency from OSU off of those turnovers, OSU got 21 points off those turnovers. Ridiculous. I couldn't believe. And you talk about, you know, I go back to last week, too, when you talk about Denzel Valentine and how his turnovers are loud. Oh, was it allowed when in that game? I mean, he had, and I don't understand why Denzel just did not just go all the way to the hole with Aaron Craig. I mean, he tried to cut him off the dribble, then goes, then spins. It was great defense by Aaron Craig, who I thought had a heck of a game defensively all night. But, I mean, Denzel starts to fall and just turns around and just says, here you go, game over. And that's exactly what happened. And then another thing, let me get this off my chest before I let you take over. I just got to get all of this out of my chest now. I love Monday, so I get it all out. One last thing, Matt, before I give it to you. Michigan State, we've always said, they're falling in love with the jump shot. And if you look at this now, this is a perfect example of this. Yesterday, with the Gary Harris three, one of Gary Harris's threes in that game, Michigan State set a school record for most three-pointers in a season. That's right there. That's typical proof that Michigan State hasn't shot like this ever in school history. I think they're falling too much in love with it, and I would have loved to see them attack the rim more and get fouled. If you look at the free throw comparison in this game, Ohio State, 19 of 31 from the free throw line. Michigan State, guess how many free throws they shot, folks? 10. They went 9 of 10 from the free throw line. That blows my mind. Okay, go ahead, man. Go ahead.
A 21, free throw disparity.
Yeah.
In a 2-point loss.
Ridiculous.
I mean,
right?
That's the story of it right there. And like you said, from the get go, the defensive intensity wasn't there. And I wouldn't even put it all on Payne and Dawson. The guards were getting beat off the dribble with regularity. I mean, it seemed like every single time down the court, an Ohio State guy was getting into the lane and making something happen in the paint. And I think that starts with the guards. I know Payne and Dawson are back there to kind of be the rim protectors, but at the same time, there's got to be something to slow them down from getting into the lane. OSU, they did whatever they wanted offensively. When they could run early offense, they were successful. When you make Ohio State work and try and, kind of get an open shot 20, 25 seconds into the shot clock, they really struggle. And Michigan State did not do that enough. I believe there's 15 minutes left in the first half, and Ohio State already had 15 points. That's a bad sign. That team is not capable of doing that against a team like Michigan State, or at least they shouldn't be, and Michigan State was just kind of letting them do whatever they wanted. It was going to be an uphill battle going in because it was senior day, and I'll get to that actually in a second here. It looks like we have a caller.
Yeah, we do. We actually have Alex on the line. Alex, what's up, brother? You back from the sunshine?
Oh, not yet, man. I'm still taking care of my grandparents down here. But gotcha. I just want to comment real quickly on the game, just to listen to some of the things that Matt's been saying. First of all, I just want to say I think this was Dawson's best game yet since he's been back. I don't know what you guys thought about that, but it looked like he was like a lot more explosive down low than he ever has been. And my final point I want to make about the game is that I just don't think this game matters. I mean, I don't know if you guys talked about this earlier, but this is just a preview for the tourney. And yeah, it may have helped seating-wise a little bit, but I just don't even think that people should be even looking into this game. Yeah, it's a road game at Ohio State. But they're just building up. They're just starting to practice together fully as a team. I just don't think it's worth looking into, personally.
Alex, stay on the line because I would love to have this debate with you right now. I totally disagree with you on that. I think when you look at, especially around this time, around tourney time, you got to have some kind of momentum going into, ending your regular season, going into the tournament. And, looking at that Iowa game, I thought, maybe this team – this will be some point of salvage for them in the season, and they could rally and get a good win on the road against Ohio State, but it just completely went down the drain. And the biggest thing for me, and I do agree with Dawson. I think every game since he's been back, he's really impressed me. I think Dawson every game since he's been back has played relatively well. I mean, he's been one of those guys, just complete effort from him. He's gotten those 50-50 balls. I mean, he's been the garbage man that I alluded to that he was at the beginning of the season. I've been very impressed with Dawson, but as far as this game not mattering, I have to totally deviate from you on that, Alex. This team right now, the rocky season that this team has had, again, they haven't won back-to-back games dating all the way back to January 21st. Up and down, roller coaster year. You want some sort of momentum and some sort of positive sign that this team is gelling to some degree leading into the tournament. And getting a loss like this to Ohio State, it just does not bode anything positive for me.
Yeah, but at the same time, Al, I do think that not only is Ohio State a good team, but I think that's what the Big Ten tournament is for. not only to the NCAA tournament, but since Michigan State's already locked themselves in, they still have this extra leeway to win some back-to-back games. Yeah, should they have
no,
won?
No, Alex, the leeway is gone now, though. It's tourney time, baby. That leeway, those experimental games that you could have are gone. That's out the window now. Around this time, it's March, baby. It's March 10th right now.
Right, but Michigan State's already locked in. And what I'm saying is, in the regular season, yeah, they didn't close out the year on the regular season with the back-to-back games, but they won on senior day, their last game at home. I think that's just enough for me. Ohio State's a good team away.
Matt.
All right. I can absolutely see where Alex is coming from here. Last year, Michigan went 5-5 in their last 10 games of the regular season, and then they went to the Final Four. All anybody remembers is going to the Final Four. What does worry me about yesterday's game is the fact that I have yet to see this team win a close game in the final minutes.
And that's next point.
That's the big thing. It's not so much that they lost, it's how they lost. You know, the last 10 possessions of the game, 5 turnovers and 1 of 6 shooting. This team has not made plays in the clutch all year, and I need to see that before I give them a full vote of confidence going into the tournament.
That was my next point. I mean, if you look at this, winning close games has been a complete problem for Michigan State so far. I mean, if you look at, go back to the 2-point loss to Wisconsin, the 4-point loss to Georgetown, the close games against Michigan where they lose back-to-backs against Michigan. I mean, this team has not pulled out close games, and that's a worry. I mean, because what happens tourney time, we're in those clutch situations, that experience of pulling out those games just isn't there. And that also worries me. And again, I'm going to go back to it too. This team has not been healthy, finally getting back, to some degree of healthiness for this team. They haven't had those games to play and gel with each other. And I think we're starting to see some of that rust too. So I don't know. It's really where Aaron, I believe we have another caller. Austin is on line one. How you doing, Austin?
All right. How you doing today, Alan? Current sports crew.
Good, good.
Man, just a couple things from the game yesterday. A positive that I took from the game was it was down the stretch. I can't remember exactly what time frame during the game, but I believe the game was tied up and Keith Applin took a three. Although he missed it, I was glad to see that he had some confidence in the back of his mind to say, "I'm gonna take this three." See if I could pick the team up and get a lead, because so many times throughout his injury being back, he spurred and handed the ball off to someone else. So that was a positive I seen yesterday down towards the end, that Keith Applin is starting to get his confidence back and he's driving to the basket now. And just overall from the game yesterday, that was probably some of the I don't want to use the word worst, but I can't think of another word. But that was some of the worst coaching and playing that I've ever seen since watching Michigan State that I can recall. I mean, like you guys mentioned, the turnovers were terrible. I don't know what happened in the second half.
So would you put that on coaching or just play? Would you put that on more so on the players or the coaching, Austin?
I would.
It sounds like the coaching.
I coaching and that's why I said coaching and playing, because from a coaching standpoint, Matt Costello, I think, played a great first half. I mean, got some big buckets, got a big momentum dunk, and rode the bench in the second half. And then Dawson down in the stretch was on the bench in the second half. And then it was one point Gary Harris hit back-to-back three-pointers but didn't touch the ball again. And in that crunch time when Ohio State kept missing those free throws to give us opportunities, I mean, we didn't draw up any plays, I feel like, for Gary Harris to touch the ball. So, I mean, it was a lack of hustle by the players and just a lack of strategy on the coaching. Like, I don't know what's going on, if Coach Izzo is trying to just, like, get everybody to get their confidence back. I mean, even Russell Bird came in and played well, hit a big three, and then didn't see the floor. I mean, Kenny Kaminsky didn't see the floor a lot in the second half. So I really don't know what angle Coach is trying to take right now, but I just hope we can pull it together before we start this Big Ten tourney and then go into the NCAA tournament.
Hey, thanks a lot, Austin. Appreciate the call.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I think now, looking at this loss, Matt, I think this Big Ten tournament means more to this ball club than it has in quite some time now. I think I don't think that Michigan State is going to win this tourney. I think that they will, because again, going back to that, I mean, now you talk about tourney time, it's all about getting those back-to-back wins. I mean, that's how you survive. It's one game elimination. I just think, you know, looking at this tourney now, as far as the seeding goes, because Michigan State, I think, will go into this tourney now with a 3 seed, I believe, or a 2 seed. I might have to double, if we can double check that. And with Michigan, of course, now the number 1 seed. I just think now for Michigan State to send a message to, you know, to the seeding and the pairings once the tourney starts, they got to perform well in this tournament. And I just think right now there's so many, every time Michigan State hits the floor, I just don't know what kind of team I'm going to see anymore. I don't know if I'm going to see a team that's going to come out and rally and play well from start to end. I don't know if I'm going to see a team that, you know, lacks a defensive presence and lets guys score in the paint. And I just don't know what I'm getting from this team anymore, which makes it tough for me to even take a hard stance on where this team will be when the tournament dwindles down.
Al, I agree 100%. I mean, what is this team's identity?
I have no idea.
Me neither. Injured? Is that it?
Injured.
I mean, that's kind of got to be it. And for a team with, you know, self-professed conditioning issues, playing 3 games in 3 days or a potential 3 games in 3 days doesn't seem like it would bode well for them.
Right.
So I don't know how far they're going to go in the Big Ten tournament, but I do agree with you that it seems like there's going to be more emphasis placed on it. I think, you know, in recent years, Tom Izzo has been accused of kind of taking the Big Ten tournament off. I don't think that's the case this year. I don't think they have any room to kind of rest on their laurels. They're going to come out, and I hope at least, play to win and really give that effort. And we need to see it in more than just one game, more than just half of a game, because it seems like that's all we're really getting right now.
Right.
As far as getting things together going forward and you know, winning games late, I think Austin hit it right on the head when he talked about not getting Gary Harris the ball. He did hit those 2 big threes and then just vanished. And for as many times as we've heard Tom Izzo say, Gary Harris is our best player.
Take over games.
Sure doesn't seem like it,
right?
Because he has a tendency to kind of vanish. Everyone does. Mm-hmm. It just seems like they drift in and out. And when a team is drifting mentally, other teams can jump on that. And I think that's exactly what happened yesterday.
Right.
Anytime Michigan State took sort of a playoff or you know, they weren't running, you know, their sets to, you know, as hard as they could or as well as they could, Ohio State would take advantage. I mean, Aaron Kraft is going to jump on anything. Aaron Kraft was...
He was great. You got to give it to
Aaron
Kraft.
He was great. He was getting away with murder, but he was great.
But Aaron Kraft, I got to give it to Aaron Kraft because Aaron Kraft, and Izzo said afterwards, I mean, it was, I mean, he's one of the classiest players he's ever seen and one of the hardest working players he's ever seen on the court. I got to give it to Aaron Kraft because Kraft, I mean, he just made plays down the stretch.
He did.
Defensive plays
he
down
did.
The stretch, which is
absolutely.
And I know, Matt, you do not like Aaron Kraft.
Do not enjoy him at all.
But I love watching him play because the effort that I see on. I mean, even that, you know, that dive on the ground.
Oh yeah.
You know, the steal that really sealed the deal for him. I think he went to the free throw. And Ohio State gave Michigan State chances too down the stretch.
Every opportunity.
Oh my good. The missed free throws down the stretch. I mean, Michigan State, and I thought Gary Harris got a good look, but again, Kraft was right in his grill with the hand right in his face. Kraft, you got to give it to Kraft.
Hand tugging on the jersey too. Right. Don't forget that. I mean, it's just for a player who is as aggressive as he is, for him to have had one foul yesterday is mind-boggling. I mean, there were, and I'm not saying, you know, he gives great effort, and I'll give him that. He's a great player. He's a great college player. Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
He got some senior day calls, and you got to know that. I feel like even if you are the biggest Aaron Kraft supporter, biggest Ohio State fan ever, you have to recognize that he gets away with some things that other guys do not get away with. He tackled Gary Harris on a jumper that Harris made. That earlier in the game, Trice was fouled on a similar play, and they called the foul. This was even more egregious.
I know what player you're talking about. Yeah.
Even more egregious, and they
let
it go.
Right.
And he tackled Gary Harris, who is, quote-unquote, the star of this team.
And he's a strong guy, too. Very, very strong. But I tell you what, but Kraft, I mean, he just finds those little ways
to
get under your skin. He had 4 steals yesterday.
One of the steals was appling off of his foot, though.
Right.
How that's a steal, I don't know.
I don't get it either.
You have to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Right, I hear that. We have a caller right now, Dave from Indiana. How you doing, Dave?
I'm doing all right. Very simply, I am not and I will never belittle any coaching moves by Coach Izzo, but I will say this. In the last 5-4 minutes of the game, if the teams that are defending MSU are going man-to-man, all I want to see is a 2-man set with Gary Harris and Adrian Payne running the pick and roll. That is their best weapon if a team is defending them man-to-man. Secondly, the previous caller talked about, you know, he didn't know or he wasn't sure what coach was doing in terms of rotation. Well, it's tournament time. You're going to ride your horses. Mm-hmm. And the horses, you know, the rotation has tightened up. There's going to be little time for Costello and Kaminsky now. You ride your horses. Lastly, this team needs somebody to step up with fire. And I think it has to be Gary Harris.
Right. I agree.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I agree with you. I mean, because afterwards, I mean, Izzo in the press conference said that this Michigan State team, and even ones in the recent past, if you will, just they lack a fire. They lack that chip on their shoulder. They lack that grittiness. And I agree with you, Dave. And we talked about that last week. This team is lacking a leader to get in your face. And that's been a staple of Michigan State basketball team success in the past. Guys like Draymond Green, guys like Mateen Cleaves. We've seen that. And I don't think this team is they don't have the personality on this team right now that has that type of energy. I think is Dave gone? I think Dave's gone. All right, thanks a lot, Dave, for the call. So, all right, we'll get again. If you wanna call in and give your thoughts on Michigan State's loss to OSU and just how tourney ready is this team? 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. Let's take a quick break. Current Sports returns in just a sec. Welcome back to Current Sports. Again, we are taking your calls throughout this entire hour on Michigan State's loss to Ohio State. If you want to call in and give your thoughts on it, 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. All right, in the meantime, let's get to our guest for today's Current Sports. He is certainly a friend of the show, and I always have a good time chatting with him. He graduated from MSU in 1980 with degrees in communication and political science. Today, he's senior vice president and general manager at Fox Sports South in Atlanta, where he oversees four regional networks. Jeff Gintner of Fox Sports. How you doing, Jeff?
Doing great, Al. It's great to be back at Michigan State. I'm so appreciative you guys came up with about 45 degrees for me today.
I know, right? You are a lucky
That's
man
awesome.
Because we have been going through it these past few weeks with the old polar vortex. It's 46 degrees out there.
You know,
right
I saw the low on Wednesday is 3, and I'm flying out Tuesday night, and I'm not selling that ticket. I'm going to hold on to that ticket.
You are a lucky man. Good stuff. All right. Now, I got to ask you, Jeff, right now, I mean, how would you, because we talked about earlier when I had you on the show and the TV show as well, it was around the time when Fox Sports 1 was just really establishing itself and about to launch and get itself out there. Right now, it's been going for a few months now. How would you assess its success so far?
You know, I think by all standards, we're very, very pleased with it. It's a startup business. It's a very, very aggressive mission to launch a national sports network like that in this day and age. But, you know, as we discussed the last time I was on the show and it had not launched yet, mm-hmm. you know, what you want is distribution and content. And so Fox Sports One reaches 90 million homes, which if you think about when the NFL Network launched, Major League Baseball Network, they did not have 90 million homes. They didn't have 50 million homes. They really struggled. So, you know, when you bundle it with all the other Fox properties, we were able to get it into 90 million homes. That's a huge accomplishment. And then the other thing is content. And you don't get a full portfolio of content coming out of the gate because no one's going to sell you the rights to stuff until you have the household reach. But this year, as we head into the baseball season, is a brand new 8-year deal for Fox and Major League Baseball. It's actually the first of new 8-year deals with Fox and Major League Baseball, with TNT, and with ESPN.
Wow,
all
really?
Of us have all brand new 8-year deals starting right now. And so Fox Sports 1 will have 40-some-odd games on it. Big Fox will still have its weekend package. And as part of the new 8-year deal, Fox will have the World Series and the All-Star Game for the next 8 years as well. So, you know, the distribution's there, and now you backfill with great content, and baseball is the first. And then, you know, looking into the future, we have the USGA. So we have, we'll have the US Open.
Nice.
You know, the UFC, NASCAR, all that. So, you know, it doesn't happen overnight, but all of the foundation pieces are in place, and now we just have to build on it.
Yeah, and you talked about that wide range of coverage you just alluded to. I mean, I've turned to Fox Sports 1 a few times and seen a lot of UFC coverage, just a lot of racing, indie racing I saw there a few times, even motorcycle racing. I mean, what is the response that you're getting from folks who are tuning into your network?
Well, you know, and I run regional networks out of the South, so I'm not, you know, on Fox Sports 1 day in and day out, but we certainly watch it very closely. And, you know, obviously we promote it very, very closely and work with them to gather content. The reaction has been very, very positive. The most important thing now is there's just so many channels out there. You know, you have to be relevant. You have to be top of mind. So marketing, where the channel is located, I mean, that type of, you know, mission is very, very important. I mean, we are told if you have DirecTV, it's channel 219. You know, drilling right into everyone's head.
Exactly.
Not to plug DirecTV over anyone else out there, but, you know, it's inconsistent across cable companies across the country. DirecTV and Dish, it's obviously a fixed position.
Right.
So we need people to sample it. But, you know, generally speaking, where we are with the shows, the content we have, the reaction has been very, very favorable. And I think, you know, when you look at baseball on Fox Sports 1 and Big Fox, the broadcast network this year, you're going to see some really cool new technology, you know, Phantom Cam, which is the super, super HD slow-mo.
And we saw that this past season, right?
You did see that this past
season. Very, very cool.
In the World Series. I mean, it's 5,000 frames per second, which doesn't mean anything to the public, but old slow-mo was about 500 frames per second.
Just to put that in perspective.
Yeah, exactly.
My goodness.
Right.
Now, Jeff, I got to ask you about this. Of course, the Winter Olympics have just ended. You have a pretty cool connection when it comes to television coverage of the Olympics. Now, just real quick, you served as managing director of the U.S. Olympic Committee's Entertainment Properties Division and served as the org's television liaison with NBC and the International Olympic Committee during the 2000 Olympic Games in Sydney. And you also served as chairman of the Atlanta Sports Council from 08 to 2011. Now, was the experience, just go back in time real quick, how would you just recap that experience? Stressful or enjoyable, both?
You know, I think, you know, it was a thrill to be part of the Olympic effort in Sydney. And, you know, I was there for 9 weeks for 17 days of games. And, you know, two prior trips to go over there and set up. I mean, the amazing thing is before the Sydney games even started, I already had an office in Salt Lake for the 2002 games. That's how far in advance you plan. By the time the Olympics hit, you're executing as opposed to planning. The 2 years, you know, leading up to the games is a huge amount of work, and it's tireless. You know, for those 17 days, and really call it 25 days, because when you go over there for the games, you're now executing. And my position with the U.S. Olympic Committee, you know, was really, as I said, a liaison position. The work we did in terms of with NBC, with the Sydney Organizing Committee, with the IOC, you know, that was the 24 months in advance of the games. It's great to watch, though. You know, the Sydney games were really interesting because that was really, as hard as it is to believe, only 14 years ago, that's when the internet started to become, have a critical mass.
Right, right.
And so that was the last of the games where Dick Ebersol at NBC said, we're going to time shift everything. We're not going to show things live or give out live scores because it would be overnight. We want to save it for prime time the next night. And a lot of people were very unhappy because with the internet, they could figure out the outcome of the events. And so by prime time, while you were showing things in a long format, you already knew the outcome.
You already know, right.
And so now you look at it, you know, you've got, you know, the NBC networks have it on CNBC, MSNBC, they're streaming all over the place, NBC Sportsnet, you know, and so what is really prime time is not the meat of the product. I mean, there was a lot of figure skating on, what have you, but people want to see the games live. I mean, sports is a disposable product. You want to see it live.
So the internet has become a really, really instrumental over time, when it comes, especially when it comes to Olympic coverage and that time differential.
Absolutely, and that's why they're streaming it all day long on CNBC and NBC Network and all those others, because people want to see it as it happens. I mean, you know, not to go off a different tangent here, but, you know, sports is DVR proof. You know, people watch sports live. And Nielsen just came out with research that said over 99% of sports viewing by their research is done live. And that's not a shock.
Not a shock at all.
No. So
gotcha. You know, Jeff, you know, I got to ask you, when you talk about, because, you know, I was glued to my TV in a few events during the Winter Olympics this past, well, a few weeks ago. What makes Olympic TV coverage so vast and different from your regular NBA basketball game or MLB game?
Well, you know, I think that the Olympics still represent the purism of amateur sport. I mean, if you think about it, your team doesn't win the championship this year. You don't even get a bite at the apple for four more years. You know, if you don't win figure skating at 18, you don't get another chance till you're 22
exactly.
to win an Olympic gold medal. And so, you know, and it's not, you know, with the exception of the NBA and the NHL players that cross over and play in there and they're looking at baseball and what have you, you know, it's still pure amateurism. And having lived on the Olympic Training Center in Colorado Springs for 3 years, I mean, you see the wrestlers and the boxers and you know, the cyclists and the volleyball players, and they come and they live there and train. They're doing it for love of sport, and it's a pretty cool thing.
That is very. What was your coolest experience covering the Olympics?
Oh my gosh!
I know it's so many. It's got to be so many.
Yeah, you know, I'll be honest with you. There was, as crazy as it sounds, there were some weightlifters. There was, and I can't remember a specific name, but there were some weightlifters that just were amazing. We did the we produced the team selection events or the team trials, and for Sydney, the weightlifting trials was done in New Orleans. And, you know, it's just very exciting moments where you see these people who have worked so hard, and now this is the one event. And if they win this event, they're an Olympian for life. Whether you win a medal or not, you're an Olympian for life.
That's true.
And so all the pressure's on of 4 years of training, you know. And I remember one specific in weightlifting was very, very cool. So
that is cool stuff. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, he's the senior VP and GM at Fox Sports South in Atlanta, where he oversees four regional networks. Now, I got to ask you, Jeff, I'm pretty sure you watched, you know, from here, you know, from time to time, the Winter Olympics. What do you think of the coverage?
I thought it was great. I think, you know, the I think that the Olympics is one of those events where the production people really test themselves to come up with something new. So if you see things like cross-country skiing or the biathlon, you know, if you think about it, you know, people that ski with rifles on their back, you know?
I know, right?
You
know? That was the coolest event
yeah.
for me.
but you know, if you think about, you know, they have the cameras on the long tracks, so they follow them as opposed to a camera being mounted in a tower and you just kind of pan and sweep from afar. You've got them right alongside for hundreds of yards following these skiers where you're looking at them as if you're skiing right next to them. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is such an amazing viewing experience to watch on TV, but the technology that goes into that is amazing. In Sydney, one of the big breaking things in terms of technology, and of course it was the Summer Games, was the platform diving. And the camera that would follow the diver all the way down and then break the plane of the water and go under the water.
Right.
That basically is a huge glass tube with a camera on a bungee cord. And engineers figure out the speed that a diver falls and weight the camera so that the bungee cord and the elasticity of that cord fall at the same speed, so the camera's parallel to the diver going in. I mean,
that's unbelievable.
It's really cool stuff.
That
and
is
so,
really cool
you
stuff,
know, that's
yeah.
kind of the showcase. That's kind of the, you know, the consumer electronics show for the producers. You know, what can we come up with new that's different? So
exactly. That is very cool stuff. Yeah. Jeff, before I let you go, I got to, you know, because you're here talking to students, something I'm sure you definitely enjoy. What's the coolest thing about coming back and talking to these students here at Michigan State? And what's your experience been like today?
It's great. You know, I'm so glad you asked. I mean, the students here are truly amazing. The questions they ask, where they are in their journey, they're so smart. They're so well prepared to head out into the entertainment or sports world. And, you know, a lot of students talk about sports and I want to be an announcer, I want to be a broadcaster, I want to be a producer, whatever. But they're really prepared. And what I try and do and what I get the most pleasure out of is looking at these extremely well prepared and very eager students and try and help them understand how to make the transition from your college academic life to position yourself to have the best chance to break into everything you've studied and trained and hoped for, you know, 1 or 2 or 3 years from now when you leave Michigan State.
Yes, that is so true. Such a great message. And you're here all day, right?
All day.
All day. Gotta love that. Jeff, thank you so much. Always a pleasure talking to you.
My
I'm
pleasure.
Remiss, though, because you won't be here for the Spartan Sports Journalism Classic
in April. No, I can't make it this year. Conflict.
But you
know, as you think about me and this hot spell you're having. I'm going to Orlando Thursday for Braves spring training.
Oh, I'm jealous.
And I'll just be there till Sunday. So
okay, you know. Okay, just till Sunday.
Just
okay.
Till Sunday.
Oh my goodness, he's the man, senior VP and GM at Fox Sports South in Atlanta, overseeing four regional networks. Jeff Gintner, thanks so much. We will be in touch, brother. All right, Aaron, let's hit the next break. Again, if you want to call in, we're taking your calls throughout the rest of the hour. Again, 15 minutes left in the show. If you want to call in and give your thoughts on anything, again, we're honing in on that MSU loss to OSU. Yes, we'll be talking about it again. 517-355-9527. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports returns in just a second. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. All right. Well, again, we're taking your calls. We have about 15 minutes left in the show. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. You know what, Matt? This past weekend, it just was not a good weekend for MSU sports in general, man. We talk about basketball specifically. As the Michigan State women's basketball team, they lost early to Nebraska, the eventual champs, though, of the Big Ten tournament. I guess that both blew up our pick on Monday right there, huh?
It really did. We both struggled pretty mightily in the women's Big Ten basketball tournament. But, you know, Nebraska and Iowa.
How about that?
I don't think anybody saw that coming, so I don't think we were alone in having our brackets busted.
No, I forgot who I had in the final. I had Michigan State and who else?
I believe you had Michigan State and Iowa.
In Iowa,
and I
okay.
had Michigan State and Penn State.
In Penn State. Of course, Penn State lost very, very early in that. And you know what? It was really an interesting game because I tell you what, that Terriot, she, for Nebraska, Terriot is so good, man. She lit MSU up defensively. They were not in tune, Michigan State at all. Susie Merchant said it was one of the worst games she's ever been a part of. So,
but if there's a time to have a clunker,
get it out your system now.
It's in the conference tournament. When you've already sewn up a seat in the big time tournament, you know,
right.
I would rather have an off game and lose a chance at a conference tournament title than I would in the first weekend of the NCAA tournament. So I think, you know, there's a little bit of a silver lining there. Yeah, they laid an egg, but it was the right time to do it.
Yeah, I think it's so amplified. It was so amplified this weekend because, you know, going back to last year when they got all the way to the championship and then they lose to Penn State. I mean, you could talk to them throughout this entire year. That fueled them. They wanted to get back to that championship, but, you know, there you go. It doesn't work out all the time. Really quickly, as kind of a segue in the pick of Monday real quick, Matt, Michigan in Indiana. Michigan gets a huge, huge win there. Five straight for them. Jordan Morgan, where in the world did you come from, brother? He had a double-double for senior night.
I'm senior night,
there,
yeah.
Yeah, senior night had him pumped. It needs to be senior night every night for Michigan, I guess, because Jordan Morgan came out of nowhere, really gave Michigan a great lift, as they now are the number one seed in the Big Ten tourney for the first time in, I think, what, 28 years? Something like that? Great, 28 years. Unbelievable stuff. Again, Michigan finding ways to score in other ways. Nick Stauskas has been great. He is in National Player of the Year talks now. Caris LeVert. I tell you what, if Caris LeVert is not named to the Big Ten All-First Team, I'm going to have a big problem. I'm going to have a huge problem. I'm going to protest. I'm going to definitely protest about that one. Michigan is such a resilient team. And now the tourney starts I'm just looking at the NCAA tournament, not in the Big Ten. I think Michigan will – it's kind of a pick of Monday now. Who do you think is going to go all the way to the Big Ten tournament, man? I'm going to go Michigan, and I'm going to go – give me a sec. Go ahead. Let me think about this one. I got to think about this one. I think Michigan is going to win the whole thing now.
I don't think you can rule out Ohio State. I think in terms of conference tournaments, I think it's much easier to put your money behind – a defensive-oriented team than it is an offensive-oriented team. Mm-hmm. Because to be able to shoot at a high level for 3 days in a row is a lot tougher than it is to play high-level defense for 3 days in a row. So I think when you look at teams like Ohio State, teams like, I guess, Wisconsin, even though they're less defensive-oriented than they have been in the past.
How about Nebraska, man?
Nebraska. Mm. Tim Miles, I think he might have just snuck that Coach of the Year trophy away from John Beilein.
I know, I really do,
and he deserves it. They both did great jobs, but John Beilein at least had already established Michigan as one of the better teams in the Big Ten. I mean, Nebraska.
Yeah. Nebraska
they're coming out of
nowhere. Out
complete
of Pluto
obscurity,
right now.
Exactly. You so I think Tim Miles, you have to tip your cap to him. He's done a heck of a job at Nebraska. They're relevant now.
Yeah, they are. They definitely are. Very, very impressive stuff. I may go. I think I'm going to go with Michigan. And I have to look at how the bracket's seated right now. But I think Michigan and Nebraska, though. I think, or I could see a Michigan and Iowa possibly. But I just don't see Michigan State. Looking at Michigan State, I just don't see them winning back-to-back games as of right now. I think they win one. I think they win Friday because they will play Friday. Both Michigan and Michigan State both have byes in the first round. I think Michigan State will win Friday, but lose that second
game. Saturday?
Yeah.
It's very possible.
Yeah.
It's very possible. They'll be playing either Wisconsin or Minnesota or Penn State in that second game if they advance. So
right. Gotcha.
Very, very, you know, there just hasn't been the consistency there to say, you know, one way or the other, this is absolutely going to happen.
We never
nothing,
know.
Literally nothing would surprise me.
Right. It wouldn't surprise me either. I feel the exact same way. And also, real quick, Matt, well, let's do Pick'em Mondays, and just kind of want to talk about the legacy of William Clay Ford really quick. But what Pick'ems do we have?
All right, well, we'll start out with the Big Ten tournament, and for now we'll just obviously do Thursday because we don't know the matchups going forward. So Thursday, game one, Indiana-Illinois. Who you got?
I'm going to go with Indiana in that one.
I'm going to take Indiana as well. I think Yogi Ferrell,
yeah, Yogi,
best player
has a good
on
game.
The floor.
Yeah.
I think they'll advance. Ohio State versus Purdue.
Ohio State.
Yep, I'm going to take them as well. Minnesota versus Penn State.
Oh, Minnesota in that one.
Taking Minnie.
Yep.
I'm going to take Penn State.
You go with Penn State in that
one. I think they've got some shooters. I think their guards are going to get it done. Iowa versus Northwestern in the last game for Thursday.
Iowa.
I'm going to take Iowa as well, although they have been struggling
up and
lately.
Down. Now, I mean, this is a team now, you know, at the middle of the season, we're like, oh, man, this team could win the Big Ten tournament. And, you know, the Big Ten. And then,
right.
You know, as the season went on, it just kind of, you know, it's been a roller coaster. It's been a roller coaster.
And they're ending on a down spot.
Right.
So I think Iowa, it's going to be tough for them to get things going to win the tournament. I think they will get it done versus Northwestern, though. Moving to the NBA, Detroit and the Sacramento Kings Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Detroit. You know, I got really excited today. I don't think I mentioned this. No, I did not mention this today. But ESPN, 30 for 30. Is releasing a Bad Boys documentary.
Nice.
That will air on April 17th at 8 p.m. I cannot wait for that. Oh my gosh, I lost my mind when I read that today. I thought I was still dreaming from waking up from sleep. But anyway,
so at least you'll have one good Pistons memory. Yes. From 2014.
Yes, at least just one.
Just one?
Give me one right
there
now.
You go.
But I'm gonna go with the Pistons to beat Sacramento.
I think they'll be – well, you know what? I won't. I'm going to pick against – I'm just going to keep picking against
just keep
the Pistons.
It's boding well for you right now.
It's working well so far. So I'm going to take the Kings at the Palace.
Pistons
Wednesday,
are so bad.
Pistons go to Toronto to play the Raptors.
Raptors have that one.
Yep, I'm going to take Toronto again.
Terrence
and
Ross
then Saturday, Pistons host the Indiana Pacers.
Oh, that's going to be a blowout.
Indy?
But you know what? I mean, they've beaten Indy. Or
they have.
They have beaten Indy earlier this year, but that was earlier this season. The Pistons are so bad right now. Give me. And Indiana, though, is on a slump right now.
They
are. They've lost three straight, I think.
But what better way to break out of a slump than to play the Pistons?
Play the Pistons. Yeah. So, yeah, give me Indiana in that one.
All right, I'm taking Indiana as well. And then a couple of hockey games here. Red Wings at the Blue Jackets Tuesday.
Give me the Wings.
I'm going to take Detroit as well. And yep. Then they host the Oilers Friday.
Or I'll go with the Oilers.
You're going to take the Oilers.
Yep.
All right. I'm going to take the Wings there. And that's about it. That's all we have for picks so far. We'll get to the later Big Ten tournament picks as they come.
As the season goes on. All right. Okay, Matt. As we got some sad news yesterday on Sunday, that William Clay Ford had passed away due to complications with pneumonia. Passed away at the age of 88. Just kind of paying homage to William Clay Ford, who was with the Lions for 50 years. Unbelievable stuff there. Just kind of the key days, I guess you can say, throughout his 50-year tenure. For me, I mean, going back to November 22nd, 1963. Matt, does that date ring a bell at all?
I can't say it does.
Okay, it was 1963. It's a long time ago.
Little,
I got
a little bit before my time.
Just a little bit. But you know what? Ford's, this was... You know, Ford's bid to buy the Lions is approved by 94% of the team's board during a vote at the Statler Hilton Hotel. Now, the news was soon overshadowed, though, because that was the same day that President John F. Kennedy, was assassinated in Dallas just a few hours later after Ford was hired to take over the Lions. How about that? Crazy stuff there. It's kind of eerie. Some of the latter days, I guess you can say, for Forest history. December 26, 1970, Detroit was one of the league's premier clubs when Ford took over, including three championships in the decade that preceded his ownership. But that script quickly flipped under Ford's stewardship. The Lions made only one playoff appearance in the next 18 years, facing Dallas the day after Christmas in 1970. Now, this was a great day in history right here. April 23rd, 1989. A lot went badly for the Lions in the past half century leading up to this date, but they did sagely draft one of the best and most memorable players to ever play the game. Yes, Oklahoma State tailback Barry Sanders, the reigning Heisman Trophy winner. He fell to the Lions at number three on this day after future Hall of Famer UCLA QB Troy Aikman. He went first overall to the Cowboys, and Green Bay selected Michigan State offensive lineman Tony Mandrake just ahead of Sanders. They call this one of the greatest draft whiffs in professional sports history, but hey, Ford was right on it. Ford was right on that one. And then here you go, January 5th, 1992, Detroit had won its first playoff game in I don't know how long as they beat the Dallas Cowboys. And here's one we would like to forget. January 9th, 2001, after 37 full seasons of ownership and just one playoff win, Ford hired Matt Millett as GM in a move that was hailed as Detroit's just really leading to that downfall of the franchise. So there you have that. But William Clay Ford, such a loyal, loyal owner, and he will certainly be remissed.
Almost loyal to a fault.
Yeah,
I think
definitely.
People will say looking back. And, you know, obviously the Lions are one of the more inept franchises in sports.
Good way to put that. Good word.
But obviously you can tell that he was a good person. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe he didn't succeed in terms of wins and losses with the Lions, but clearly people who worked for him had the utmost respect for him. So he was at least doing something right. And I think the way he ran the business was correct. Just didn't have the right people in place to actually succeed on the field.
Right, I agree. And, you know, that was kind of the focus of Drew Sharp's column today in the Free Press was that, you know, Ford, you know, even though his track record was not that great, as a person, he was just a loyal human being. And sometimes, like you said, I mean, you can be too loyal to a fault. I mean, if you look at some owners, would not bring up Michael Jordan. I mean, they say Michael Jordan was just too loyal to some people. I mean, he would have those longtime friends that would act as advisors for him and didn't know what the heck they were talking about. And you can kind of hear that echo when it comes to William Clay Ford's legacy as well. But, yeah, William Clay Ford, man, what a legacy. That was, I believe, Henry Ford's last living grandson. He passes away at the age of 88 due to complications of pneumonia. All right, well, we are out of time, ladies and gentlemen. Again, I want to thank you all for those who called in and weighed in on Michigan State, the men's basketball team, and how tourney-ready they are. If you did not get a chance to call in and still want to let your voice be heard, you can do so on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports or tweet me at AlMartinWKAR. I will definitely love to read those on tomorrow's show. Thanks so much to all of you for tuning in to today's Current Sports. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing. As always, take care. Have one fantastic Monday. Please, please don't rock any shorts today. I understand it's 46 degrees, but please don't be that guy. Oh, my goodness. Be easy, people.